Welcome back to the Dirt Shed Show, everyone. On today's show, James and I will be discussing, are we living in the golden age of mountain biking and is it about to end? Welcome back, everyone. This week we're here with myself, James Pickering.
And myself, Fergus Ryan.
This is our first show together, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've finally been allowed free from the adults.
I know, Rich is off today, so you're going to have to stick with us, I'm afraid. What are we speaking about this week, Ferg?
So today I want to talk about, it's something that's sort of been in the news a lot recently, certainly on the road side of things, but it's the change of sort of mountain biking being in the golden age at the moment. There's so much innovation going on in the mountain bike community and racing, and then on the road side of things,
yeah,
it's very, very controlled. There's lots of rules and regulations imposed by the UCI, and I guess it's that change. We are seeing mountain biking sort of going in a similar direction, being a bit more controlled by the UCI, and I guess my concern is that potentially we might be ending that sort of golden period of mountain biking.
Yeah, so often our brothers over on GCN, they talk a lot about how the UCI rules are ruining road cycling, a lot of rules on bar width and regulations on development of bikes. And I guess, is that going to come across to mountain biking? So recently we even saw on the road that in the Tour of Holland in stage one, Jan Willem van Schip, he got disqualified after the stage for his handlebar and seatpost position, which is crazy, got disqualified afterwards. But in downhill, we see people like Reese Wilson developing these crazy, I don't even know what that is, like a Phi Moto style clamp, which the UCI sort of just allow to happen. So what we're worried about is if the UCI have more jurisdiction in mountain biking, are we going to see less development?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you say, Reese Wilson, certainly on the gravity side of things, Reese Wilson with those kind of crazy thigh clamp guards, potentially, I think that's a bit of nutty professor going on. And obviously, UCI regulations would get rid of those. But then in the same way, we've had amazing innovations this year. Yeah. Certainly, one of the things that I've been testing is the added weight. And within road cycling, there are like weight regulations and things like that. So that would bring in, I guess, a restriction on that side of things, but potentially would also bring a really cool sort of new element to racing in that, like, you look at Formula One, they have like the weight of the rider and like the whole unit weight.
Yeah.
Could we see something like that in downhill where it then means that athletes have to train themselves in a specific way, like Jackson Goldstone's super light, whereas like Loic Bruni weighs 100 kilos? It could be really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I guess there's like benefits and negatives to regulations. And I guess if they bring a regulation in, it always creates like another avenue to look at.
I guess it's, do we want downhill to still be like F1? One where downhill racers are racing on bikes that we can't buy or that aren't stock? Or would we rather downhill be that the pros are racing on the stock bikes that you and I can go out and buy? Because like definitely the Commensal team, they're known for running pretty stock bikes, but then you have got people like Loic Bruni running always completely non-stock. Yeah. So do we still want downhill to be this sport that's like F1, where it's like super innovative, everyone's running like bikes you can't buy off the shelf? Or would we rather have it, everyone could go out and buy the exact bikes that downhill pros are riding?
In my opinion, I really want to see it stay as F1.
Yeah,
and that's rather selfishly on my part, because the more that they develop in F1 and the faster they go in F1, it's like F1 in that it will trickle down to, you know, the consumers, and us mere mortals will get access to some pretty cool bikes, and that's going to allow us to go faster as well.
Yeah, because racing drives innovation. So like every big company will have a factory team and professional athletes who develop these bikes that then, although most of us aren't riding downhill bikes, it means that trickles down to the trail bikes, the cross-country bikes that we all ride. So it is good, even though it's probably a bit annoying that they're always on bikes that none of us can buy. I think it is good. But it's not just bikes that the UCI have jurisdiction on. It's also around team rulings and the way that they're trying to. So in the road, they have, you have your World Tour level teams, and then you have your Pro Continental, and then you have your just standard Continental teams. And I guess mountain biking is going a bit like that now, isn't it?
Yeah, so it went from sort of having World Cups, you had the IXS Cups, and you sort of had all these different individual events where you could go and get UCI points and then go to a World Cup and anyone could turn up. Whereas now it's very much they have their Continental series that feeds into their World Cup series, and you have paid trade teams, which are kind of your other avenues in. And that's good for the sport in one way because it brings more money into the racing. I mean, it costs more money to be a team, but it does bring more money in. But from my side, looking at it from a privateer or like a non-factory team racer, it does make it super difficult and super expensive to get into these races.
It's making it really elitist now, isn't it? Yeah. It definitely feels like they want downhill to be like F1, so all the changes over the last few years of the finals have got smaller. They want less teams. They want it to be really like the top of the, like, they don't want almost privateers now, it feels like. They want to make it a bit like F1. You have 20 drivers, 10 teams. Yeah. I think they want it to be like that. It is really a premium level show now.
And would you say that's similar in cross country? Are we seeing similar things over on the cross country?
Yeah, I guess so. It's definitely the main thing is it costs a lot to register your team now. So we've seen a lot of these smaller teams drop. You can still ride for your national governing body if you're good enough. But when I was racing, if you got 60 UCI points, similar to downhill, I could enter a World Cup. But now I don't know if it's quite as easy. You have to, literally represent your national team, which is really high level to get to, or you have to be on one of these registered trade teams. And I think the problem people are having is the UCI is saying there's going to be this like feeder races, like these continental level races, but there aren't actually that many of them available, are there?
I think they've like gone for, they've come up with the concept, but what they've done is they've constrained the top before they've made the sort of feeder series. Yeah. And what that's doing is, unfortunately for sort of this current generation of races coming through, is they're left with very few avenues. And I'm sure in a few years the structure will be better and you'll have more of these sort of feeder events and maybe that will be more of a pathway. But right now the pathway is so difficult.
It's not very obvious as well, is it?
No, exactly. So I think this is kind of where the UCI getting involved and these sort of UCI regulations really is having a negative impact, in my opinion, on sort of gravity-fed or mountain bike racing.
It feels a bit like now, if you don't make it as a junior and go straight to pro level, there's not an obvious route. So like quite often now we're seeing juniors, they go straight to factory teams. Yeah. But if you're someone who can't do that, you can't race as like just an elite. The path to get to pro level is so ambiguous now. It's not very obvious. Before it's like you could do really well in nationals or you could do really well and then you get all your points. But now it's like, how do I even become a pro if I'm not Jackson Goldstone as a junior and get picked up by the syndicate? How do I become a pro? And it's become so elitist.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is becoming more obvious, like in the national downhill series, you see less riders sort of turning up to their national series because they're like, well, it's fun, but going to a national series is quite a big expense and things like that. So I think we need to have that avenue to create the dream that people aspire to race. And then that creates a better community of mountain biking within the sort of general consumers and for just your everyday Sunday rider, right?
Yeah. I'd be interested to know what you guys think. Are you for this sort of elitism in downhill and racing, or did you prefer the old format where sort of we had more privateers, or are you more for this new format? Because I think there's pros and cons of it. I like the fact now that we have this really high level like thing to spectate.
It's good,
like,
watching. It's good watching,
but I can definitely see why it doesn't benefit a lot of other people. So be interested to hear what you guys think as well.
Yeah, definitely let us know in the comments below what your guys' thoughts are. And on that note, that kind of moves us on to the news.
So we're going to start off the news this week with a bit of an update on Adolf Silva. So Adolf had a really unfortunate crash at Red Bull Rampage a couple of weeks ago and unfortunately has suffered some really severe spinal injuries, but he's just released his first sort of personal injury update this last week and he's in really high spirits, so it's really nice to see. There has also been a donation page set up by Road to Recovery to fund his sort of all the expenses that are going to come from his sort of medical bills and all the stuff about how he's going to have to adapt his to his new life. But yeah, it's really good to see him in good spirits, and also how the mountain biking communities come together to sort of back him as well.
Yeah. And in other news, slightly more positive, we have had the In the Hills gang holding their annual jam session. Some of the most insane riding that I've seen, with some newer faces, Crew Turley and Elise Rivers, winning sort of Rider of the Week. If you haven't watched that, I definitely recommend going and checking out some of the clips from it. It was a pretty crazy, crazy event, and definitely a lot of fun.
We also had another event this week, didn't we? Well, we the Hard MTB League, which was really sick.
So cool.
Loads of riders from a lot of different backgrounds. We had World Cup races. Yeah. And it was like ace of the mare. I saw that clip from just looked unreal. It's the level of like downhill races now to be able to compete in these events as well, and just be able to like backflip massive jumps. It's a really sick event.
Yeah, unreal. And definitely, I'm fingers crossed, something I want to get involved in next year. So if you're hearing this, please, please, can I come? But on to more news, and there is a new bike from White. It is the new White Sect R, so their hardtail has been dropped. So if you're in the market for a hardtail, go check that out.
We've also got some really exciting news of a competition this week again. So it's still the Orbea and Shimano competition, where you can win your absolute dream bike. So you can use the My Orbea custom configurator to design the bike of your liking, really. Colours, spec, and it can be from a wide range of their mountain bikes as well. So anything from the Oys, the cross-country bike, all the way to the Rallon, their like downhill and enduro bike. So all you've got to do is there's a link in the description down below. You can customise it however you want, submit your design to be in with a chance of winning.
And now it is time for hacks and bodges. Now, James, are we going to see?
Can if you want.
Oh, shall we? No,
we'll leave that to Rich and Martin.
Leave it to Rich and Martin.
What have we got first, Ferg?
First up, we have something pretty crazy on an e-bike, and it's by
Aftoni Jim.
Jim.
Good name, that. So it's this cheap drive chain tool that I quickly made for a new Cube Stereo e-bike with SRAM T-type, so we can turn the chain backwards. So this is because on e-bikes, when you turn the cranks backwards, the chainring doesn't turn
spins,
as well.
Yeah.
So he said, made from an off-cut, a 40mm plastic waste pipe, carefully cut out, two Y slots to go over the crank arm. I used an 8mm set screw bolt, so it engages the front ring. You need to sleeve the bolt so it doesn't crush. This seems a bit complicated. You can just put like a little drill bit in or something.
Well, you can just put an Allen key in. Yeah. But if I was only an e-bike, I would be wanting to have something that is like a permanent tool that I could sort of throw in and out. And I guess that is a pretty cheap way of doing it.
Yeah, I would say it's a hack. Like, it's not a bodge. It's definitely a hack. I think it's quite an over-engineered solution for something that can be solved a bit easier. But we like over-engineering, don't we?
We do indeed. So that is a hack.
All right, what have we got next?
Moving on, we have possibly what looks to be the most complicated bike stand I've ever seen.
This looks a bit flammable.
This is by Seven Beach.
Yeah.
So he's local.
River Seven, isn't it?
Needed a quick work stand for the bike, couple of gas canisters, and I had a round steel bar that was to hand, very sturdy. Gas canisters were empty, by the way. Okay, bit safer, but still. I mean,
the thing is, it's a work stand, but how are you going to work on your bike with the gas canisters around?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to touch your drivetrain, are you? You're going to be crouching. It's going to be a bit of a weird one. So I'm going to call that a bodge.
Yeah, that is a big fat bodge.
Yeah, all right, bodge. And then finally, we have...
This is from Sawbottle.
From Kevin. It's not from Sawbottle. It's from Sawbottle. It's from Kevin Tessner.
That's a good name, that.
With the Sawbottle.
Sorry, Kevin. So he said, on the recommendations of the crew at the local trail centre, I got the best. Really, it's amazing. Folding saw to keep the walking trails and single track in the woods near my house open. The problem was that I never had it with me and always had to return with a backpack to make any use of it. A few weeks ago, I sacrificed an old water bottle to the cause, and it's the best thing I ever did. I've cleared more tree falls in a month than I did in the first 2 years of owning that saw. is a good idea. I don't know if you can.
I just wouldn't want to ride with a saw anywhere near my feet. I mean, I know it's safe, it's all filed away, but that still scares me.
Yeah, I wonder if the police pull you over and you've got a massive saw slash machete in your Definitely, but yeah, I think it's great if you can do some maintenance on your local trails.
Any maintenance on the trails?
I'm not sure I'd want to go for every single ride of a saw in my down tube.
Yeah,
but what we're saying is that a bodge or a hack?
I'm gonna go with bodge. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm like, as much as I appreciate trail maintenance, that is definitely a bodge, and yeah. I would have just stuck with a trusty Camelback for that, I reckon.
Yeah. What's your favourite this week, Ferg?
My favourite has got to be. I think it's got to be the EMTB drivetrain. As much as, like we said, it's over-engineered, I'm appreciating a lot of over-engineering.
It is a good solution.
And it is a good solution. The number of times I've been spinning my my e-bike and just not being able to do the chain. So
Aftoni, send your details down below. You have won the £50, well, up to the value of £50 spent in our GMBN shop. Remember to send in your hacks and bodges to the uploader down below.
Okay, moving on to things we like this week, and I'm going to kick things off with an absolute doozy. This might just be the ultimate way to get to the trails. Have you seen this?
I haven't.
Check this guy out.
We have some of them in Bristol.
Yeah, Lime scooter to the trails.
Problem is, if you're probably in the city, there isn't that many trails about, really.
Hey, look, I just appreciate that. That is innovation for sure.
No, I fully rate that.
Yeah, might have to get myself an electric scooter.
Yeah.
My new form of transport.
I really rate that. Next this week, it's my weekly BMX clip. It's a clip of Jordan Goodwin, or Godwin, I can't quite remember how you pronounce his name, doing a crook hard way down this handrail for Eclab BMX. And the lean he gets on that crook is absolutely insane.
You are speaking gobbledygook to me there, my friend.
Well,
but it is impressive.
He grinds down a handrail and does a 180 out, but it's quite a technical trick.
Very cool, very cool.
You've got another BMX clip in, haven't you?
I have got. Well, it's actually on a mountain bike, and it is from R. Willie.
R. Willie?
Yeah. He absolutely loves Ascend, and he has this huge compound. Check it out. He is doing a double cork 1080, something like that. Yeah. I mean,
It's pretty bonkers.
Lots of spins on a dirt jump bike and on a huge jump. I mean, I would love to have a go on an airbag like that. I mean, it'd be terrifying.
Would you hit it?
I mean, I never want to say I'd hit something before I've actually seen it, but I mean, I'd like to if it's got an airbag.
Oh, Willie, if you're watching, give Ferg an invite, it'll come out.
Please do it.
He's got like a tire grab or something.
Yeah, I'm not doing it on like a sofa or anything because I know that man loves the sofa send. But yeah, give me a mountain bike, maybe we'll get on that.
Definitely.
Anyway, those were the things we liked this week. Moving on to the caption contest. Now, last week we saw Jonesy doing this.
Pretty funny image of Jonesy. He's always got some funny, weird faces, hasn't he?
It's more his hair.
Yeah.
He's like the Weetos. Do you remember the Weetos cereal guy? That is Steve Jones.
Yeah, it's funny. He wears a lot of caps these days, isn't he? So, first comment we've got is from Daniel Cobb, 8886. Don't you dare laugh. This bike costs me nothing.
I mean,
we've got two from Daniel Cobb. Double.
Yeah, so the next one he says, letting it rip. Unfortunately, something rips. What?
I've been ripping it in a few videos recently. Definitely a few farts ripping out. And then lastly, we've got four in today. Robert Bates, 3737. Today on EMBN, Steve rides an invisible e-bike. Is this a sign of the future?
I mean, for our mountain bike community, maybe having no e-bikes is the future.
It's pretty much those exoskeleton legs, and we know they don't do much, do they?
That was the invisible, ultimate invisible bike.
Yeah.
And then moving on to, finally, drum brakes. Everybody seemed really happy when Steve upgraded his electric guitar to an air guitar, so he decided to upgrade his bike too.
I wouldn't want to hear Steve Jones playing a guitar. Would be out of tune, not very well maintained, and sound pretty bad. What's your favourite one this week, Ferg?
I reckon it's the letting it rip. Unfortunately, something rips. So, Daniel Cobb, congratulations.
Yeah, you have won up to the value of £50 spent in your in the GMBN shop. To win £50 next week, this is our current caption contest photo. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Remember to send your comments down below. We love listening to them, hearing them. Right, it is now time for the bike vault. What have we got this week first, Ferg?
First up, we have Mohamed Fadzil with a very, very nice Yeti. Looking Yeti.
With SP130.
Bikes, yeah. And I mean, I know Rich would normally get very upset with the fact that the drivetrain is not being shown, but I absolutely love the background.
Bike. It and it's in Mount Bromo, East Java, Indonesia.
Mount Bromo.
Mount Bromo?
Yeah, probably more Mount Bromo. Bromo.
Yeah, that's a sick bike. And yeah, it's not on drive side, but like with the silver pike in that red.
I just think it looks clean. Yeah, very, very cool.
Well done, Mount Bromo.
Hey, there
super
you go.
Nice from me. What have we got next?
Next up, we have a very, very cool downer bike. Now, James, you're probably too young to even remember this, but
this is
an Evil bike.
Mini mullet as well. 26 on the rear, 27.5 up front.
Yeah.
Fox 40s, Ohlins rear shock. He's single speeded it as well.
They are super, super cool. That is like the ultimate park rig. The only thing I will say is I'm not a fan of where that seat is.
Yeah.
That seat needs to get slid a bit.
So that's
forward.
Matthew Foster's bike. And he said, unfortunately, I had a collision with a tree and broke my femur the last time I went on it. It's been a long 6 months of recovery, but looking forward to getting back out soon.
Yeah. Well, that steed is waiting and it won't be undead
I'll
for
allow
long.
You to super nice that.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's a cool bike.
Moving on, we have
Gary Luttman. There's a fire in the background there.
A Niner Rip.
Niner Rip 9. Rip 9? And they're burning the heather on the Moyers. So that'll probably be up north.
Up north.
It could be. They have moors in like Devon and stuff, don't they? But,
yeah, but do we ever get hot enough to have fire?
Well, no. So they do burn the moors. It's like something they do on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Learning something new every day. But
that's like one of the first gens of 29er mountain bikes, isn't it?
Yeah, I am a big fan of the Silver Hub. The Silver Hubs are very cool.
Yeah. It's the only thing is, the photo, the like, what would you call it? Exposure? It's a little bit dark, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with that's a nice. Yeah. It doesn't quite get the super
cool
nice
photo,
for me.
But that is a nice from me as well.
Yeah.
What have we got next? Oh, nice DJ bike from
we do.
Ifan Steel.
That's a very cool pump track as well.
Yeah, it's Amity, Samsara Dirt Jumper, Maxxis Tires, Manitou Circus Forks. That does look a great pump track, doesn't it?
Yeah, that looks a lot of fun.
It's a bit far away, the bike in the photo, though, but I do like a DJ bike.
I appreciate the fact he's wearing a full face on the pump track as well, because I always get scared whenever tarmac's involved. And,
you can rip around a pump track. What are you saying? Do you want to make the call on that?
I mean, he's got the Tamils. It's got to be a super nice. Go on. There we go. Moving on.
This is from Send It 4130.
I mean, already the name, I'm liking it a lot. So this is an Identity.
Mini mullet again. A lot of mini mullets this week.
Mini mullets, yeah. I mean, I got to like it. I think the blue's a little bit too much for me on the fork.
Yeah.
But it is really custom. I mean, you wouldn't see another one of those on the trail, would you?
What do you think of hardtails? You know, Owen's built his hardtail on a GMBN Tech recently. I haven't rode hardtail since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's a lie. I used to race cross-country hardtails, but I've never rode like a aggressive hardtail.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to try one. I'm the same as you. I rode hardtails when I was very young.
Yeah.
Dirt jump bikes I've ridden a lot of, but
not like proper mountain
not
biking.
Not proper mountain biking hardtails. So maybe that is a video, James. Maybe you and I need to go ride some hardtails.
Blake was always banging on about it.
He's always banging on about it. Oh, God. Anyway, we might
What are we saying? Nice or super nice?
I'm going to give it a super nice, you know?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on. Right. Moving on,
what's this guy's name, Ferg?
Mikhail Bogdanovsky.
Yeah, Bogdanovsky. Hey, that's a good better pronunciation than I've got. I like them green Fox Forks.
Yeah, I like the fact that the linkage matches it as well.
Yeah, so it's a 2013 Trek Remedy 9. 26-inch wheels running tubeless with Schwalbe tyres, 150mm front and rear. That's kind of like a bit like what Rich and I were talking about in last week's show, is like how much bikes develop. I mean, this is, it's not that old, but it's crazy how much bikes have changed, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the BB height on that is crazy.
Looks him in. I wonder where it is. He hasn't said. No idea. It looks a cool background, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, very,
definitely
very cool.
Not in the UK, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
What are we saying? Nice or super nice? It's cool. I'm not sure like the photo, I'd like to see a bit more of the bike.
Yeah, you know? I'd like to see more of the bike. So I'm going to stick with nice on
nice
that
from
one.
Nice from me, yeah. And last but not least, oh, this is quite local to us.
It is indeed. That is
JCJC.
That is a Santa Cruz Nomad, and I love that bike. I love the colour. It's got like this oxblood carbon.
Yeah.
I've seen one of those, and they're
amazing.
It says
it's great for jibbing and bike parks. They're at Dirt Farm in Wales. Some of you've been for it.
Yeah,
you?
Like that. It's got some cool big background. Sandy jumps. I need to take you there and get you airborne, I
That's
reckon.
Definitely not taken this time of year in the UK, is it? It looks very dry on the grass.
It does.
Looks very nice. Well, that's a super nice from me.
That is a super nice for sure.
That is the end of Bike Vault for this week. Remember to send in your submissions to the uploader down below.
We love to see them.
Yeah. Do we want a theme for next week?
Yeah, let's mix it up. Why don't we do...
Can I pick the theme?
Oh, all right,
can we have your XC bikes? Cross-country irons, as we call
Fine,
them.
Fine, cross-country irons.
I don't know if there'll be... We'll have 10 XC bikes to be uploaded.
Well, I mean, you know, hardtails.
Yeah. Send in your XC bikes for next week's show because we really like them.
Love to see it.
Well, maybe not you.
hey, not... I'm open to it. I want to see what's good.
Coming up on the channel this week, Ferg, you've been shredding a bit, haven't you?
I have indeed. Yes, I've been shredding with some slightly smaller riders, and they are the next generation.
Smaller as in me, or?
Well, yeah, a little bit smaller than you, oh, even. Okay. I mean, it's pretty special, but yeah, the younger generation riders, the next generation, they are unbelievable on bikes, and they've been riding some pretty special ones as well.
Yeah, some new kids' bikes from Propane. They look unbelievable. A lot better than the bikes we rode as kids.
A lot better.
It's no wonder kids like Jackson Goldson are so good these days.
I mean,
we probably would have been that good if we had better kids' bikes.
I wish I could put my lack of skill down to that, but those kids were unbelievable on their bikes. So yeah, definitely tune in to watch that one. And then after that, on Sunday, Rich takes on attempt number 2 of his AliExpress adventure.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time he's going to get further than 6 kilometres.
Yeah, so he's made some adjustments to the bikes. He's fixed the problems he had in the first round. And he's gone back to Wales in true Rich Payne fashion. The weather looked horrific. So I think that played a part, but... Yeah, you'll have to stick around and see how the bike performed. I'm looking forward to watching that one.
Yeah, definitely. Always love a Rich Payne adventure.
Thank you all for watching. That's it from us this week.
That
first show
indeed.
Together. We did all right, I think.
I reckon it was all right, yeah.
Rich might have to come back next week.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
If you've enjoyed watching, let us know in the comments down below. We'll see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.